So good to see you out here today. What a wonderful morning. Just so good to see you up there, Hannah and Dave. Just such a good thing. Glad that you guys are all here. Welcome to Grace Point. Listen, if it's your first time here, we're so thankful that you're here. We hope that you feel that you're part of a group of people. And if you continue to come, hopefully what you're going to see is that we're a fairly warm community. We're fairly real. We talk about real stuff. We try to do life together. We're all here basically just to help one another and spur one another on, inspire each other to follow Jesus and to take whatever the next steps are on our spiritual journey. We've all got kind of maybe a different place, a different direction that we've come from, but we're all going towards the same direction, and that is just to simply follow Jesus Christ. And as far as us as a church goes, you know, life can be kind of complicated, right? Life is complicated, but why we're here is we're simply here to help. And so, listen, if you're here and you're not a person who normally comes to Grace Point, or maybe you're not a Christian, you're not a follower of Jesus, maybe you're not sure what you believe, this is actually a really great day to be here, because one of the things I do every fall is I try to talk a little bit about why we do what we do and our vision. But before I do, there's one thing I'm not sure if Josh mentioned. Did he mention that there's a membership meeting after today? Did he say that in the middle of all that stuff, that he really said that? Because he's so many things. Just as a reminder, there is a membership meeting right afterwards, and I think that there's a little bit of snacks to hold you over for lunch. But welcome to what I call today is sort of like the beginning of church year, at least in my view. This is sort of the beginning of the year. Usually it's the week after Labor Day, and you can see everything just begins to get going. And I especially as I think about what our vision is as a church, I very much appreciate Hannah's decision to be baptized today, because as we've been going through this series called The Walk, it's really all about us taking steps to follow Jesus in wherever we are. When it comes to growing spiritually, the Bible often, I mean, when I say often, it says it a lot. It often talks about our spiritual journey as a walk. As a walk with God. If you are a Christian, you're told a number of things. You're told to walk in wisdom towards those who are outside the faith. That you're taking steps towards them. You're told that we are called to walk in love. That's with one another. That's with everyone. Everything that we do, we're called to walk in love. It says we're to walk in the light as He is in the light. And so as God has exposed things that are true, we're to walk in that and to take those steps of truth. Just like God is, He's always true. The Apostle Paul said that we walk by faith, not by sight. And so the picture here is just simply that our lives are meant to be a journey, a walk of faith, step by step. And each step is purposeful and each step is directional. And either we're drawing closer to God with the steps that we're taking, or we may be pulling away. We're getting further away from Him. And so all the things that maybe you have been told, and if you grew up going to church, or maybe you just have heard, whether living in church world or otherwise, but whatever you've been told, if you're a Christian, that you need to do, like, you know, read your Bible, pray, go to church, give. I mean, whatever it is on that list that you have been told to do, these things are actually called spiritual disciplines. And that's sort of a bit of misinformation with the title, because they're not really meant to make you spiritual. What they're meant to do is to draw you closer to Jesus. And so today, what I want to do is I want to talk about a spiritual discipline that doesn't look like a spiritual discipline. And we'll get there eventually. But before I do, just like I said, every fall I try to, as we start up again, I try to talk about something related to our vision, related to our mission as the church. So for those of you who don't know what our vision or what our mission of the church is, I just want to tell you up front, this is what it is. And I've got it kind of multicolored up here. And so here it is. Our goal is to lead people into a growing relationship with Jesus Christ. And the question is, well, how do we do that? Well, by creating environments that encourage and equip people to pursue three vital relationships: Intimacy see with God, and here we have like hand signals that I used to make people do, but I won't make you do that today because you can be embarrassed. But we have intimacy with God, community with those inside the faith, and influence of those outside the faith. All right. So that is our mission. And I've got it color coded because I want to talk about sort of the different parts of it before I continue on. The first part of the statement, it's not really new to us. It's not really new to any church. It shouldn't be new to any church. Every church ought to have some sort of similar mission statement as the first part, to lead people into growing relationship with Jesus. We might say it a little bit differently, but it's basically the same mission that Jesus gave us almost 2,000 years ago when he told the disciples. He says, listen, I want you to go. I want you to make disciples. I want you to be baptizing them, and I want you to teach them everything that I have taught you so that they can carry it on and they can continue to teach other people that. So that's the first part of our statement here in the orange. The last part of the statement in the green here is also something that we get from a lot of different passages throughout Scripture. And it's really the goal of our church, and it probably should be, again, every church that you would ever go to. But it's to encourage and equip people in three different areas. And we say that it's the areas of our relationship with God, intimacy with God, communion with those inside the faith, influence with those outside the faith. And other churches may see it differently. They may have like 5 or 6 or 4, who knows how many, you know, things they might say that we're hoping to do. Like maybe they'll say we want to have, you know, authentic worship or something like that. But we see it primarily as three different kinds of relationships. And that's the only three. There are only three kinds of relationships you really can have. You have a relationship with God, but you also have a relationship with others of the same faith. And are you growing deeper with them? Are you growing more intimate with God? And then also, do you have relationships with people who are outside of the faith, that are non-Christians? And so that's really our goal, is to have a growing intimacy with God, to continue together with other followers of Christ, and to love people who are outside the faith, that we invest in them, that we invite them into a relationship with Jesus Christ. You know, in these two things, one of the things that I have learned over the years is that I can teach and I can preach and I can counsel and I can love to my utmost ability. But that doesn't guarantee that anybody is going to grow in their intimacy with God. It doesn't guarantee that anybody is going to draw together in community with other people within the church. And it doesn't guarantee that anybody is going to have influence with people that are outside the faith. And so while we have a role to fulfill both individually and corporately as a church, it's actually God's role to change lives. This is something that we've seen many times, that, you know, I can't force somebody to change. You can't force somebody to change. God is the one that has to do it. It's up to Him in each one of us. It's up to Him in your life. You may think, oh, I just have all the power to change, but actually it's God who does the work in you. This one of my favorite passages is this one right here. It's Philippians 2:13. And I came across it when I was in the Air Force, and I used to think that God just commanded us to, you know, just to obey, and it's all up to us. And I ran across this, and it says, "For it is God who works in you, both to will and to work for His good pleasure." And I found out that it was God who was the one who wasn't just in the things that I did. But see, there's sometimes I didn't want to do things. I didn't have the desire to do it, and sometimes I would just, you know, maybe I would just do something because I was told, but I didn't really want to. My heart wasn't in it. And God is the one who both works in us and the things that we do, the actions that we do, but He's also the one that changes our hearts. He changes our desires as well. And you know, I found out that there's no amount of arguing. There's no amount of reasoning or presenting proofs or my own thoughts that is going to change the mind of anybody else, especially if I'm talking with somebody who might say that they're a non-Christian or they're an atheist or whatever the situation, that I wasn't going to argue them into a relationship with God. You cannot argue somebody into trusting Jesus Christ as their Savior. You just can't do it. And so if our mission is to lead people into a growing relationship with Jesus, and if our mission, if our desire is to promote those three vital relationships, where you grow in intimacy with God, community with insiders, influence with outsiders, then what are you supposed to do as a church if you can't change people? I mean, if I can't change people, if you can't argue people or discuss people into that, and this is the answer. What is our role as a church? And it's simply this. Our goal is just simply to clear the path and light the way. What we're supposed to do as a church is clear the path, light the way, remove every unnecessary obstacle that might confuse somebody or that might trip them up or that might lead them away from Jesus before they ever get a chance to have a relationship with Him. This is what our role is, just clear the path and light the way. I kind of look at it like this. It's like a sailboat. Every summer, almost, I like to go up to Whitney Point, to the lake, and to Dorchester Park, and I'll try to rent a sailboat. But some days, I'll drive the 40 minutes or whatever to get up there, and I'm looking, and I ask to go rent a boat, and they're like, okay, well, we can put it up for you and everything, and we can raise a sail, but there's no wind today. You're not going to go anywhere. And see, sometimes I think that they're lying. At least once I thought they were lying. It only took one time, okay? And you know, you can raise the sail, you can kind of raise the anchor, you can get ready to go. But if the wind doesn't come, you're not going anywhere. Okay, so that's just an illustration. But see, what is our job as a church? Our job is to prepare the boat. Our job is to raise the sail. Our job is to lift the anchors, to get the boat ready to go. We're not the ones that provides the wind, but we are the ones that gets everything ready to go. Which brings me to the middle statement in our statement. See, if all we can do is clear the path and light the way, well, how do we do it? We do it by creating environments that encourage people to pursue God, to pursue one another, to pursue those who are outside the faith. You know, here's the thing. Jesus didn't tell us how to do church. The reason why you look around and there are church services doing all kinds of different things and different churches have different purposes. He didn't tell you what your church building should look like. He didn't tell us how long we should meet, which is a good thing for some of us. He didn't tell us if we should eat food when we met or what kind of food we should eat. He didn't tell you what to wear. He doesn't say wear this, wear this. He doesn't say what time of day to do it. He doesn't say this is the position of prayer you must be in. There are all these things that he doesn't say to do, but he gave us the basic details of what he wants us to do. He wants us to share the good news, the gospel, with people. Not just people who are outside the faith, but he wants us as believers to see how the gospel impacts our lives. How does the death, burial, and resurrection impact every believer? And to be honest, that is the energy. That is the nuclear fusion energy, the power plant that empowers us to be able to live for the Lord. This is the main deal. But how we do it? The location and the culture that we do it in, that's up to us to make a decision. What is the best way to do it here in Vestal, New York? Because I'll tell you what, it is different here than it is down south. It is different here than it is in California. It is different here than it is overseas and in different areas of the world. So the strategy of creating an environment, it's going to clear the way. It's going to light the path. How do we do that where people are encouraged and equipped to pursue the things that they ought to be pursuing? And how we do that, that's like the raising of the sails, putting people in position, seeing, waiting for God, getting people ready to see God move. Years ago, there was a church, North Point Community Church, down in Atlanta. They come up with a helpful illustration of kind of what this looks like, what these kind of environments look like within a church. And they used an illustration of a house. And their strategy was, how do you get people kind of into the foyer? You move them from the foyer to the living room to the kitchen, because each one of these rooms is a little bit of a different environment. And so if you have a house that has a foyer, like our house, our foyer is about this big right here. This is our foyer. Welcome to our house, right? You open the door and here's the steps to go right up to. You're like, okay, welcome. All right. But some of you have a nice foyer and you open the door and people come into the foyer. Well, the foyer is sort of designed with the guest in mind. And I know when we live in it for a while, it stops becoming a foyer and it becomes sort of the mudroom or whatever it is, especially if you have kids, right? But the foyer is designed with the guest in mind, like when somebody first comes in, it's the first presentation of what your house looks like. And so in a church, what's a foyer environment? Well, it's kind of like today. A Sunday morning, when a person first comes, what do they see? What do they look at? What is it going to be like? And they come in, and so maybe some of you, this is your first time, and this is pretty much what you get. You see what our church is like. But there are other kind of foyer events, like later in October, we're going to have this trunk or treat where we meet people out on our parking lot, and we just say, hey, we're not a bunch of weirdos, but we do want to love on your family, and we want to love on your kids. And if you want to, we'll help your kids grow in knowing who God is. That's called a foyer event. Well, they also talked about a living room event, and that's just a living room in your house is sort of a place where it's designed to develop friendships. So there are events that are designed to develop friendships. Like we had a picnic a couple months ago where we all ate until we were super full out there, and we were able to just talk and develop friendships. But the room that we sort of are hoping for the most, I guess, to get to as a church is the kitchen. Because the kitchen is kind of where you start to develop family. It's where when you're with like some good friends and like you were in the living room, but like you're going to go into the kitchen and now it's like they are helping you. You're chopping up some stuff. Hey, can I help? Sure, chop up some of this stuff. And so you know if they're really good friends, they come over and they say, here, let me do some of those dishes. When they do that, you know you have kind of reached a point in a relationship where somebody feels comfortable together with you. And so this idea of this kitchen room or the kitchen table, if you will, this is what we would call here at Grace Point and in any other church is probably our small group Bible studies where you get people together and they meet purposefully week after week. And they spend some time in the Word of God. They spend some time in prayer. They spend time together. And so really the strategy of our church, our vision of our church is how do we get people to come to the foyer, to come through the living room, and to the point where they get into the kitchen, to where they come to the kitchen table where we spend time with each other. They become part of a close-knit family where they do life together. And see, because that's the place where discipleship happens best. You've heard us say it before. Josh has said it. I've said it. That when I'm talking to you, you guys are all sitting in rows and you're listening to me. But if you get into a home group kind of Bible study, something like that, there's a circle and you're all sitting around and you're talking and everybody is discussing and becoming a part of it and becoming connected in a way that's different than how we are connected today. So last week, Shay and I had an opportunity. We were invited to come over to a couple's house. And so we went over there and I punched in their place on Google and Google turned me the wrong direction to start with. And finally we figured it out. We got the right way. So we were a little bit late. And so we pulled in. We're pretty sure this is the right place. We begin to hop out of our car in the driveway and the couple comes out and they meet us right there. And we're like, oh, that's so nice because we're not going to, knock on the door. Is this the right place? Right. So they come out and we start talking and they end up kind of showing us around the property because they had a little pond there with some fish in it. And we go around and finally they bring us in and you know where they bring us to? The living room. And we're sitting in the living room for a while and we're talking and then we begin to start sharing stories. And there's more and more stories that are shared and everything. And then after a bit, they took us to the kitchen table where he had strategically gone beforehand to the cider mill and bought maple frosted donuts. Okay, so if you know anything about me and maple frosted donuts, he had no idea that it was a God thing. That just provided the maple frosted donuts. But as we sat there and we began to talk and we're sharing stories and we begin to get to know them better and they begin to get to know us better. We get to know about their family, their friendship, some of the trials that they went through. And here we are. I realized we're at the kitchen table in one night. And I just thought, what a great illustration. See, so this is really kind of the goal is how do we do this as a church? I mean, as a pastor, I could say, oh, yeah, it's great to have everybody, fill up the seats every Sunday morning. And that's really success. But see, that anybody can come and sit. It's more than that. Christianity is more than just coming to an event and sitting and listening. It's living out your faith. And so how do we do this as a church? And so one of our goals is just simply to guide people from the foyer and try to get them into the kitchen, to move them from being guests and strangers in the sense that we don't know them, and to get them to the point where they feel more like family. To get them to the point where they more like they feel like good family, because there are those weird family members, right? There's the ones that you're like, not so much. But when we're sitting at the kitchen table and we're talking about the things that are important in life. And, you know, I would say this, that most churches have a similar goal as ours. Hopefully. I hope that they do. To get people involved in their version of small groups or our version of connect groups, where this is where the greater part of discipleship happens. It's when you're talking, you're working through things together, because I think this is that's the best environment for people to grow in discipleship, to spend time studying the Word of God together, to spend time actually praying, where they learn how to pray together, where they go from "I don't know how to pray" to "I'm actually going to say my very first prayer out loud with people." To sharing, you know, I've been struggling with this thing and I really haven't talked to too many other people about it, but I feel like I need to because I feel like I need some help. See, we don't do that right here. It's just not designed. This environment is not designed for that. And I think most churches would tout the value of being in a small group. And see, here's the problem, though. Pastors like me often push being part of a small group for reasons that not everybody's going to experience. And what I mean is this, that being in a connect group, it's not always going to provide the kind of great friendships that we hope for. We think, oh, I'll get in a group and it's going to provide these really great friendships. It doesn't always do this. Being in a connect group is not going to be always effective at preventing sin. We'd like to think that it would help, but it doesn't always do that. And I think that connect groups, they don't always provide the kind of deep or meaningful Bible study that I might hope for. Now, while these things may occur, and I think that they do lots of times, but lots of times they don't. And so for this reason, I think that there's some people that have said, well, you know, I've tried it and it didn't work. And so pastors keep on doing this. They keep on saying stuff that they should be involved. But, you know, I tried it once and it just didn't work for me. And so therefore, this is just not for me. And so I really want to talk about this and answer this question. Why should people be in this kind of a group? If we're all about trying to have these kind of environments where people can kind of take the next step in their spiritual journey, why should people be in a group? And I just want to tell you this. I think the best reason for you to be in a group is because connect groups, they provide three important accelerators for spiritual growth, which you can't really find anywhere else. Three important accelerators for spiritual growth that you can't find anywhere else. So let me talk about those. Have you ever noticed a pattern in people's lives when crisis hits? So they get hit by difficult circumstances. They get hit by this is confusing things that come into their life. OK, so when people get hit by this, there are people who isolate. Where they're more isolated, they're not as they don't have as many friendships. But the people who isolate, they tend to find it a little harder to get the help that they need, to find the support that they need when they need it. And sometimes it's because nobody knows what's going on. That's true. But I would also say this. There are other times when people do find out what's going on, and yet for some reason people aren't motivated to help for whatever reason. They just don't seem to care that much. And so for people who are on the more isolated side of things, that whenever help does come, often it's too little too late. And that's unfortunate. But when the person who isolates themselves, that's sort of the position that they put themselves in. But I would say this. People who tend to have close, transparent relationships, they experience a totally different reality. Completely different reality. When crisis hits, they usually find people eager, ready to help, just right there. Because they've got those kind of relationships built in. And so here's the question is, how do you develop those kinds of relationships? Transparent, close ones where they're real. So that when life's calamities hit, you're prepared. How do you develop them? And so, you know, going to church, that helps. Going to church helps. Spending time with other people helps. But for most people, the best tool, if you will, is to be in some kind of a small group environment where you have actually made I'll just call it a covenant, where you've said, you know what, I'm going to meet with you people for a period of time, and we're going to choose to do life, and these are the things we're going to try to do. We're just going to do it every week. We're going to spend time in the Word of God. We're going to spend time talking and getting to know each other. We're going to spend time in prayer together. But you meet regularly like that, and you share in your spiritual journey together. And see, when you do that, there's one of the things that's interesting. When you do that, and everybody knows everyone, there's no place to hide. And for some of you, like, oh, you know, that you back up. But see, there's a good part of that, too. There's no place to hide. That means that it's you're putting yourself in the situation where you're saying, okay, I'm putting myself in a situation I have to grow. I'm just going to choose to do this. And see, I would say this, the main reason to be in a connect group, it's not to make great friends. I would say it's not really for accountability, and it's not even to be in deeper Bible study. There's a different reason. And so what I want to do is I want to play a sound for you. And I just want you guys to listen to this sound, and I want you to tell me what this sound is. You got this in the back? To just keep going over and over again. All right, good. All right. What's the sound? Velcro. Velcro. Right here. Velcro. I would say the best reason to be involved in a group is what I would call the Velcro principle. The Velcro principle. It's just connectedness. Being a part of a group like this, what it does is it Velcros me to other people. So that when I encounter a need-to-know situation or a need-to-grow situation, I'm already connected. I'm right there, okay? And so let me just pick three ways that the Velcro principle kind of impacts you in a connect group. And I'm just starting with the three B's, okay? So Bible knowledge, bear hugs, and kicks in the buttocks, okay? Three things, right? Okay, so Bible knowledge. When it comes to spiritual growth, often we don't know what we don't know. And so you get around other people who maybe they know a little bit more. It becomes helpful. Peter says that the Bible plays a major role when it comes to spiritual growth because it contains everything we need for life and godliness. It gives us everything we need for life and godliness. This is what Peter tells us in 2 Peter. But the Bible's a pretty big book. And so there have been times, even for me, where I've been like, okay, I know this is in there somewhere, but I don't know where it is. I can't find it. Kind of, it's like a syndrome. Like, where did that go? You know? But when I'm around with other people, often I can mention that, and they're like, oh yeah, it's over here, it's over here. Or maybe I list some sort of a situation, and I'm like, I don't have any idea how anything in Scripture is going to help me with that. But somebody brings up something and says, well, hey, have you considered this passage? And man, it just hits me right between the eyes. But if I wasn't in that group, it wouldn't be able to help me. And sure, you can Google it and all that. But see, if your Christianity is a team sport, you've got a number of other people that you can talk about the situation with. You've got a number of other people you can ask questions and throw out ideas, and they're going to work with you through that. So in the same way, there are times when you're going through difficult times and what you need is a bear hug. And when you are connected with other people, they're going to come up and they're going to hug you and they're going to give you what you need to keep on moving. They're going to weep with you. They're going to come alongside you. They're going to encourage you. Some of you are great at like writing cards or doing things like that. And that's a wonderful thing. But then there are other times where what you really need, and see, nobody wants to admit this, what you really need is a swift kick in the buttocks. Okay? And that's going to help you move forward. And when you're connected, there are people who are going to say, hey, listen, I know that you've been saying this and doing this and all this, but, you know, I've just noticed something. And they're going to tell you about whatever that is. And if you're transparent in your relationships, you're actually allowing them to speak into your lives in a way that you need. And see, here's the problem. The disconnected Christian, if you want to say the Christian that is disconnected, that is unconnected, they've got no one to turn to when they need a shoulder to cry on, or maybe a push in the right direction. And it certainly is hard to give yourself a kick in the buttocks on your own. I mean, you can try to give yourself a hug and you can try to do all that. But listen, Christianity is not meant to be an individual sport. It's a team sport. And so one of the best things about placing yourself in a connect group is you put yourself in a situation where it's hard to hide. And when life hits hard, you're already in position. You're already in position to receive the kind of help you need. So that's the first thing. Second thing is this. I'll just call it peer pressure. We tend to think of peer pressure as a negative thing, but peer pressure is not good or bad. It just is. It just is. And see, every one of us is shaped by it. And all you have to do is go look at your old yearbook pictures to see how you were influenced by peer pressure around you. Your clothes, your hair, your activities that you did. Some of you are looking and like, where did he get that full head of hair? How did it get that color? I will tell you, hydrogen peroxide. Okay? That's how I did it. That's how I did it. And yeah, and I was always into dancing. You see me up there with the big medallion and it was the Saturday Night Live or Saturday Night Fever, you know, revised back in 1987. We tried to bring disco back again. But you know what? You look back in the yearbook and you see, boy, I was influenced. I was influenced by the people around me. In some ways were good, and some ways were not so good. But you were shaped by what you thought was acceptable, what your peers thought were acceptable. But see, there's an upside to peer pressure. When you're in good and close relationships, there's an upside. Listen to this. Proverbs 13:20 says, "He who walks with wise men will be wise, but the companion of fools will be destroyed." And this is just one of the biblical passages about the warnings of getting in with the wrong crowd. And by the way, it's funny that there's not a direct correlation here. It says, if you walk with wise, you will be wise. But then you would expect it to say, and a companion of fools will be a fool. But it doesn't say that. It goes a step forward, and what it says is they're going to be hurt. If you're a companion of fools, you're going to suffer harm. And see, the principle is this. If you Velcro yourself, or who you Velcro yourself to is going to influence you, is going to impact you, it will often take you places that you may not have gone on your own. Who you Velcro yourself to will influence you, will impact you, and it will often take you places that you would not have gone on your own. Who you spend time with will influence the quality and the direction of your life. You've heard me say this before. This just is a principle that we try to teach often. This is a principle that Pastor Josh teaches every year with the high school students. I know this because I have had four of them and they have all rehearsed the same thing back to me. Matter of fact, yesterday, my son Silas, he quoted this to me. Your friends determine the quality and direction of your life. Right? That's right. That's right. And see, for adults, though, some of us, we know that this is true, but we tend to try to relegate it for those who are younger. But see, this is true for the 70-year-old. It's true for the 24-year-old. It's true for the 14-year-old. And maybe the best passage that points to the positive side of peer pressure is here in Hebrews 10. Hebrews 10, 24 and 25 says, "And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds." So that's the goal, spurring one another on. "Not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another and all the more as you see the day approaching." So just very quickly, this isn't just saying that we should look for ways to spur one another forward. What it's saying is, one of the most powerful ways to spur one another forward is simply just continue to meet with each other. Just continue to meet with each other. And that's one of the most powerful ways to spur one another forward. It's about staying connected. You know, I'll just be honest with you. I've been doing small groups now for about 17 years. Almost always it was at our house, but sometimes it's been at other places too. But let me just tell you, there are nights when I know it's time to go to group. We're in a couple hours. We're supposed to go to group. And Shay and I, we are exhausted or whatever else is going on. And we're just kind of looking. We're like, I don't want to go. I don't want to go. I'm giving all the excuses, and I'm like, no, honey. Actually, she's the one that's giving all the excuses. I'm like, no, honey, let's be spiritual. Let's go. Sometimes it's that way. Sometimes it's the opposite. No, we need to go. And so then we go. And then afterwards, we're like, I'm so glad we did that. Because I was spurred on by others. It was encouraging. And see, we just put ourselves in that situation. We just got to do it. We need to do it, right? And see, that's the Sunday church and sermons. They have their place. They can powerfully impact us spiritually. But I will say this, the way to produce life-changing spirituality where you're drawing closer to God is to spend time with other people who are already growing. That's the best way to do it. Let me just go to the third thing I think that is a reason why we ought to be involved in Connect groups. And it's simply it provides a greater ability to be honest. So what scenario do you feel more comfortable sharing something that you're struggling with? Here we have a microphone in the back that we could pass around. Or in a group with 8 other people that you know fairly well. Right? A room like a classroom or a room like a living room? Where do you feel more comfortable being honest? In a group where there's always somebody new and you don't know who they are, or in a group with everybody who you already know? And the truth is, when you're with a smaller group, you can be more honest, and you can actually receive more honestly at that point as well. But if you want to grow spiritually, part of that process is being honest enough to let other people know what you're facing. Let other people know what you're going through. And you have to have friends who are honest enough to tell you the truth as well. That they have to tell you what they see, even when it hurts. And see, this kind of relationship is not easy to come by. You know, I was reading this last week about men, adult men. Most adult men, as they get older, they only have maybe 1 or 2 people that are like this in their lives. 2 people, even if it's 3. I mean, is that enough for you? Is that enough for you to have that kind of friendship? Oh, I only need 2. Come on. I mean, I know as I get older, I'm like trying to grab as many friends as I can. Because when you get older, what happens? People pass away and you start to lose them. And you need more and more. You need this, right? So we need people who are honest enough to tell you the truth. We need people who we can be honest with, that can bear one another's burdens. And see, most of us have a habit where, people ask us, how are you doing? You know what your answer is, right? Every one of us knows what the answer is, right? How are you doing? Fine. Some of you said great. That's a lie. Fine. But you know, you get into a smaller group and it's designed for talking about harder things together. I mean, and that's part of the reason why you go, because you know there are harder things, and you're a grown up, and you know you got to face things like that. So these are just 3 things, just 3 reasons to get involved in a Connect group. I think there are many, many more. I just wanted to be really practical today. I know this wasn't like a deep Bible study day. Okay, it's not that, but I want you to think about it this way. In the same way that the Bible exhorts you to read your Bible, to like have, you know, try to daily think about the Bible, to study it, to meditate on the Word of God. In the same way that it tells you you need to grow in how you pray, how you spend time in prayer and you commune with God, to even to the point where the Bible says that we have to confess our sins. Not just with God, but we confess our sins one to another so that we can be healed, we can be restored. Scripture says this. So you think about this, in the same way the Bible exhorts us to do all of these things are all spiritual disciplines, okay? There are things you have to do in order to grow in your relationship with God, to grow spiritually. Being in community is a spiritual discipline. It's a spiritual discipline where you make a decision. You make a covenant. You say, I am going to be in community with a group of people and I'm going to keep in that relationship. I'm going to be honest with them. I'm going to hope that they're going to be honest with me. I'm going to reach out. I'm going to confront. I'm going to love the way that God says I'm supposed to love. And see, this is how you grow. And see, without it, developing a God-pleasing spirituality is just going to be very difficult to find. You're not going to find it sitting at home and say, okay, I watched the sermon online. You might get some truth, but you're not going to find that kind of growth. You're not going to find that. And so being in a community, it's a spiritual discipline. So this week, this is sort of our main on-ramp. You heard this is when everything starts up. And so I'm hopeful that a number of you have gotten some of the emails that we've sent about being in Connect Group. And a few weeks ago, we put out things in the bulletin saying this is how you get involved in Connect Groups. Some of you have gone online and you've checked it out and you've contacted us. I would hope that many of you would get involved this semester, even if you're thinking about it and you're on the edge right now thinking, oh, maybe I could. Or maybe you're kind of hitting your spouse and saying, honey, you know, we've talked about, you know, opening our home and just kind of hosting one of these. Maybe we should just go for it, right? We would absolutely love it if you do that. And by the way, this semester right here, this is the best semester. It's my favorite semester for small groups. And the reason why is because at the end of the semester, you get a Christmas party and a gift exchange. That's just the way that it goes. I love it. So here's the thing. So those of you who are in a group, in a Connect group, and you've signed up already, around 12:30 today, you're going to get an email. And I talk a little bit about what the groups are about, but I've also given you some small group discussion questions. Every week, what I try to do is, based on what my sermon is, I try to give discussion questions for groups who are like, well, we don't know what we're going to study. Or a person's like, well, I'm not a great Bible study leader. Well, you can take these discussion questions. And if you heard the sermon and maybe even wanted to take some notes, you could actually go through the questions and you could walk through, you could talk through some of the things of the sermon. You can go even a little bit deeper, but at 12:30 you're going to get that in your email. So hopefully I'm like, what am I supposed to say now? I think I just lost all where I was in my notes. That's okay. Hopefully you've seen our emails about Connect Groups, and for some of you, I hope that you're kind of being urged, thinking that that's something you want to do. And let's just say some of you were too busy, or maybe some of you were too lazy. That's okay. There are still some openings in some groups. And so if you are interested still now, you can go on the website. You can look. You could come and talk to me. You could come and talk to Josh and say, you know, I think I am interested. And you could even leave your name and your information. You could use like one of the bulletin tear outs, write your name, say, I think I'm interested in getting in a group. And we'll see what we can do. We may not be able to get you in this semester, but man, maybe we can get a brand new one started, even at a half semester mark, to get you involved in a group, because we'd love to have you do it. So hopefully today, my goal has just been to tell you a little bit about our vision as a church, why we do what we do, our direction, what we're hoping to get people to do. And hopefully I've encouraged you to be a part of a closer group, connected in ways that are transparent and real. And even if it's not one of our Connect groups within a church, I hope that you'll find that. I hope that you'll seek that, because that is where real growth happens. So I want to pray. I'm going to pray for you, and then we're going to close with one final song with the band coming up here. Heavenly Father, as we come to you today, I think about every one of us in here. And I've got a feeling that every one of us, we would like to grow. We would like for you to have your hands on us in a very purposeful and meaningful way. We would like it if you would use us in ways to make an impact in other people's lives. But I pray that you would help every one of us as we're struggling with schedules. We're struggling sometimes maybe even with courage. That you would help us see that there is a purposefulness. There is a reason why we should get together. And would you help us take that next step? If we aren't already in this kind of a group, would you help us take that next step just to purposely say, we're going to try to grow in this way? Lord, I just ask for everyone here that you would put your hand on their lives, that you would draw them near to you, and that they might be encouraged because of the love of Jesus that he has for all of us. We love you. We thank you for what you've done for us. We thank you for the example that Hannah Watson has given to us in taking that next step. And I pray that you'd help us to be bold and to be taking whatever that next step is for our own lives. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
I'd like to just chat real quick. Just bring that volume down. That's okay. You can start. Just bring your volume down. I wanted to, while Kyle was speaking this morning, I want to kind of bring this back to like a worship perspective before we sing our last song. And I was reminded of this passage out of Ephesians 5, 15 through 16 and 19 through 20. And it says this: look carefully then how you walk. Just learn this idea of walking. Not as unwise, but as wise. Making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. And then it goes down into verse 19 and it says, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I just love that the scripture brings us back to addressing one another while we sing. And especially this morning while we were singing, Lord, You Are, I was looking out and I was just seeing how many people were engaged in worship with the Lord this morning. And not necessarily looking it up here or whatever, but just listening to each other, singing and addressing one another and encouraging one another. And it's exactly what you're talking about this morning. We have these opportunities to encourage and to bless each other. And so as we kind of wrap up this idea of small groups and we're feeling like, yes, I need this in my life, let's stand, let's sing one more song, and let's be encouraging one another with this great song that Faith is going to lead us in.
exists. This is why the church exists, that we would praise His great name and that we would take the message of Jesus to others who don't know it, who haven't realized, who don't have a relationship with Jesus. Well, that's why we're here. As we close, let me just pray for us. I want to pray for not just for us in here, but what we've got going on this week. This is going to be the very first week of our Awana program. Very excited about this. We're going to pray for that. And I pray for all of you also as you go on and you begin the beginning of this year. So Heavenly Father, I just pray for Grace Point. First of all, I'm thinking about the stuff that's been going into the kids' ministry for the Awana program that's starting. And I pray that these kids, that they would know that they are loved, that they are cared for. I pray that you would provide all of the leaders that they need, all of the adults to just help out, to show the compassion, to provide the fun, the games, the snacks, all of that stuff. But that you would use all of that to create an environment where kids grow, where they grow in their relationship with Jesus. And Lord, I pray for every one of us, and as busy as our schedules are, I pray that we would not forget that we need to meet together, that we need to do that as part of a spiritual discipline, and that's part of getting to know you in a better way. Lord, we love you. We thank you for the good news of Jesus Christ for us, that while we were sinners, Christ died for the ungodly, for His enemies, and that was us. And you did it to make us sons and daughters. And for that, we praise you and we honor you. We are undeserving, and yet you made us worthy. We love you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, thanks for coming, Grace Point. Listen, if you remember, reminder about the business meeting here in about 15-20 minutes. We'll see you there. Have a great week. See you next week.